Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Beautiful weather yesterday. I was heaven. I was in heaven. Yes, I was.
Missed it all.
And then why would you miss it all?
I was inside.
Oh, well, okay.
I was working.
Okay.
You were on the golf course. That's the difference.
I'm out there every day, don't you?
I do.
Well, I'd like to be.
Well,
out
there's
every
nothing
day.
Wrong with that, right, Pete?
Well, I agree with that. Just don't tell him I'm out there every day.
Well, you might be working out there. If,
That's right.
Some people can work.
Yeah. He claims that schmoozing on the golf course is, quote, part of his job.
It's not so much when I ran only the Talbot Group, a local advertising agency, which I still run. Yeah, I did a lot of business on the course for local. Well, now I get, in fact, my golfing friends make fun of me every freaking time because I get like 20 calls during a round of golf, and I got to take them because they're usually something important. So anyway, I'm not complaining, but he's complaining apparently over here. Anyway, today, folks, I've got Dr. Samara Umat. She's back, and we love having her back. She's our assistant medical director. And this other fellow here giving me a hard time.
Who doesn't play golf?
Who doesn't play golf? Jerry's golf is an interesting combination of sport and agriculture.
That's right.
I
plow the field.
He plows the field. There, you don't want him up right there.
The grounds committee has issued a shoot on site order. After they saw what I did to the grounds on the only time I've ever been on a golf course.
So. And you'll note I've never invited him to come along. So anyway, probably never will. All the lines are open right now. If you are new, in fact, listening to the opening, Jerry Berg does a great job with the opening, talking about to help you feel and function better tomorrow than you did maybe last week, last year, last 5 years, 10 years ago. You hear those testimonials all the time. And it took him several years to get me to put the function part in there. You know, it's one thing to feel better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to feel better next year, this year, than you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Well, that's important.
Yep.
But I can't measure it.
But you have a hard time measuring it. People know if they feel better, but function really is critical.
That's right.
You know, people say, I feel 10 years younger, and the next one says, I feel 20 years younger. And I say, how the hell do I tell the difference? In which, what's 10, 15, 20?
Mm-hmm.
I can measure
how
fast and how far you can run. I can measure how high you can jump. I can measure how strong you are. I can measure your body fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, function are things I can measure. When you tell me how you feel, I can just smile and say, well, that's nice.
Yep.
But it doesn't do me any good at all in providing care.
Well, all I know is I can say I feel better today than I did 20 years ago, 21, 22 years ago. That's a hard, cold fact. I can prove it. And I often think about it because I was such a mess physically, various issues. I was such a mess that I have those memories so firmly implanted that it just brings extra joy that I'm so active now. Really,
but you see, for me, I remember in the bad old days, when you had to take months off work.
Yeah.
Okay. That's functional difference.
Yeah.
Now you are working longer hours. You are more productive. You are accomplishing more than you did 20 years ago when I met you.
Yeah.
So again, I'm looking at function.
Yes, you are.
Right.
Yeah, you, you get better value for your money now.
Yes, of course, I pay you more now, too.
Oh, but, thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. A whole blankety-blank lot more.
Okay.
Anyway, I appreciate that. So that is important, but I actually believe the majority of, what, Americans, people in general, have that fatalistic attitude that as they get into their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, that they have to just automatically decline mm-hmm. like everybody else. And they don't realize that there are things that you can do to sort of, in essence, hypothetically, turn back the clock. And that's very encouraging. So we love hearing all the testimonials. Got a whole new batch of them that came in over the last week or two or three that over time folks will be hearing. So we don't write the ad copy. We don't write the testimonials.
People just come in and they just call in and tell us.
That's right. When they just call and they say, oh, you know, and they tell their stories. And, gosh, it is so exciting. So, bottom line, well, I may as well tell, we opened up another batch of health analysis appointments because the ones we made available last week are nearly gone. And so I guess that's a good problem or a bad problem depending your situation. But we now have appointments available at Longevity Medical Clinic, all three clinics, by the way, through, I think, about the 20th of July. And so, yeah, you got to wait a little while maybe to get in, but grab one of those health analysis appointments. We'll talk about those later. Right now, let me give you our toll-free number because we still have two lines open. A couple of people have called in, but we've got two lines open right now at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And anything goes if it's about your health. Or maybe the health of your spouse, your parents, even a child. Sometimes we get calls about what do we do about kids and stuff. So 800-465-8770. Second opinions, that's another topic. Oh, hey, one thing. I got an email or a text a couple of nights ago from a friend who said, will you talk about arthritis and how do you get it? Why do you get it? What is it? I thought that was kind of, I mean, we all hear about arthritis. We know it's painful, but I don't, well, maybe you've taught about the nitty gritty of it. So what I did is.
Yes, what did you did?
Well, what I did was grammatically correct.
Yes, it was.
What you said,
I was teasing
was,
you.
Yes. I called Dan Nelson and he's calling in at 8:30.
Okay.
And he, I asked him if he would answer that question. He said, yeah, you bet, between him and you and you, that should be interesting. So stick around because at 8:30, we're going to talk about arthritis, how you get it, what it is, how you deal with it.
Which form, which of the many different types of arthritides there are.
Well, there you go. My friend just asked the question about arthritis. So we'll let you solve that in any event. Is there anything we need to talk about? The virus. Any new information, any new tidbits we need to hear?
You were chatting about some stuff this morning. What did you have?
Just that the antibody testing.
Yeah.
The people are saying that, you know, antibody tests may be negative if you've had no symptoms. And then the IgG antibody, which is what we're testing predominantly, actually doesn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing some in our clinic, but we're going to offer more.
Yes.
And this next round that's coming up through Roche Labs in our clinic will be done on all of our patients. And I tell them it's probably worthwhile doing it again if the first one was negative.
Well, and that's our plan is to go ahead and repeat it, you know, every 3 months when you get your regular blood draw. Because let's say you were negative in June.
Yeah.
And we see you again in October. Well, you may have turned positive between June and October.
Awesome.
So, sure.
Yeah.
So we will be checking it since, you know, they tell me our cost is going to be $1.56 per test.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to, so I'm just going to throw that in as a freebie for our people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good.
And so all of our folks, every time, at least until we get a vaccine out, we are just going to be checking our people every time they get their blood tests.
I think right now, if you go to an independent lab, it's $50, $70, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. But, yeah. Yeah. LabCorp is charging $50. I don't know what the others are charging. But
so what did you mean by it doesn't last long?
The IgG antibody that we check for is only in the blood for about 8 weeks. And so if you're tested, say, 8 weeks you had been infected, then you may not end up as a positive blood test saying that you were not exposed.
See, there's three forms of antibody, the A, G, and M. And if you get a serious infection, so that you get a lot of virus through your body and you have to mount a big response to it, you get high antibody levels that'll last sometimes for years and years.
That's right.
But if you are one of those people who get such a mild infection, you don't even know you were infected.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have to make much of an antibody response because you didn't get much of a viral load. You just got a few particles. You knocked them down in a hurry and you did not mount a big, big response. So, you know, the antibody test is going to depend in part on how much virus you got in your system and how hard your body had to fight to get rid of it.
Right. Okay. Fascinating stuff, this virus.
Yeah, lots to learn.
We keep learning. Mm-hmm. I get such a kick out of it because I keep hearing the science is changing.
Mm-hmm.
We keep learning things. And yet some people, some governors, for example, and politicians like to take science from 3 months ago and
which is grossly outdated.
Right.
Well, and even then, those 3-4 months ago, we weren't getting science. We were getting projections.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting blue sky guesses. We think that this is what will happen. You know, now we have several months experience. We are starting to get some hard numbers and finding out that most of our guesses early were just flat out wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
you know,
that happens.
It does. Well, that's the thing about guessing,
yes,
as opposed to measuring.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, again, our number, I think I've got all of our, I think I've got all the lines full. 1, 2, 3. Yes, all the lines are full. I think I'm going to go to a break 1 minute early here.
Okay.
And by doing that, I don't have to interrupt anybody. So when we come back, we're going to talk about cataract surgery, rotator cuff issues, vitamin K, vitamin carnitine supplements.
And then I am going to throw in a little thing about Florida's coronavirus spike.
Sure.
Okay.
Just for fun.
Well, we'll start off with that as soon as we come back. Okay, welcome back, everyone. I was just talking with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Samir Umat about the virus and the various effects. Jerry, you wanted to talk about Florida, but just as a quick little side note, I asked about suicides because I'd heard some really dramatic things about the spike in suicides.
And it is dramatic. We have had as many suicides already in the first 5 months of this year as we normally get in the entire year. So, suicide rate has more than doubled during the shutdown.
Grief.
Well, you know, humans are social creatures.
Yeah.
And when you get people that already suffer from depressive disorders or bipolar disorders or PTSD, and you shut them up in the house for months at a time, you know, when you've got really unruly prisoners, you know, you got nasty, horrible people, the way you punish them the worst is you put them in isolation.
Yes, that's right. That sounds true.
And, you know, they fear isolation worse than they fear physical punishment.
Oh,
and here we basically put the entire society in isolation, and our more fragile members are suffering for it.
And this is not just the social aspects,
economic
people are being wiped out. I have a close friend who lost his restaurant and combination restaurant nightclub.
Yeah.
And it's devastating.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if you've worked for 30 years trying to build something and it's destroyed because the governor ordered it to be destroyed, And especially if you've already got a depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've lost a lifetime worth of work. Yes. Mm-hmm. There are people who are deciding that life is no longer worth living.
Oh, boy. It's a lot of hurting people out there.
There are a lot, yes.
And which is really a good reminder for all of us. Let's be as friendly as we can. Let's reach out. Let's call those friends. Let's knock on the door of the neighbor and talk mm-hmm. with them over the fence if you need to social distance. Mm-hmm. Let's be friendly because people desperately need the interaction. Okay, you wanted to talk about Florida.
I just saw, Florida, Texas, Arizona have all had coronavirus, quote, spikes. Mm-hmm. And the press is talking about second waves. Actually, these states have never finished their first wave. They've never really had the sort of spikes that mm-hmm. that New York and New Jersey and the Northeast had. And some of the governors are getting a lot of criticism because they're saying, no, we're not shutting down. We're just, we're okay. And so I took a little closer look at it, and I thought Florida was the most interesting. the press was saying they had 4,000 people in the hospital on one given day. Now, that wasn't 4,000 new people admitted. That was total people in the hospital for coronavirus symptoms. And the governor had said, no, we're not going to shut down. We're doing fine. Well, it turns out that, Florida's hospital bed capacity is 74,000 beds. They've got 4,000 people in with coronavirus symptoms, which is about 5% or less of their hospital beds. Mm. And so, they are not exactly being overwhelmed. Mm. They can handle a significant multiple of what they've got.
Well, when you hear some of the scientists say, well, we have to keep shut down until there's not one person dying of the virus.
Yeah, well.
Really irritating.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that with anything. You're going to have to then abolish skateboards and bicycles.
Mm-hmm. Automobiles.
And automobiles and skiing.
That's right.
And, and husbands and wives, because they kill each other too from time to time.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say that the counseling organizations and churches, I was talking with one of our pastors, he's so freaking busy.
Yeah.
Doing Zoom counseling right now. Sure. Oh my goodness.
Sure. Divorce rates are going to climb too. Just That's as right. there's going to be a baby boom, there's also going to be
an go to extremes. You either have sex or you get divorced.
Sometimes both.
Sometimes both. That's right.
Anyway, it's a sad thing. So that is interesting. Well, first of all, I have some interesting news.
Yes.
Right after I told you, Dr. Dan Nelson is going to be here at 9:30. Well, I come to find out he's on the East Coast right now, and he just said something. He's with a family thing, and there's a big event, and he feels really bad. Can we do this next week? And I
sure.
said, sure, big deal. We've got arthritis, and it'll hang around for another week. Anyway, so Dr. Dan Nelson will be here. But I will tell you, I had said about my knee was really bad, and by the end of a round of golf, I could barely move, even with a cart. But he put a shot in my knee earlier this week, and I golfed. Not 1 ounce of pain. Oh, putting him in my will. Dan, you're not listening, but thank you so much. He's a good guy. Okay, let's go to...
Do I need to die soon?
No.
Think we can get him to put us in there? I'm just thinking.
I don't know, Pete. What are you planning, Pete?
How are you planning to go, Pete? We were just talking about suicide,
Not going to happen.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
Let's go to Terry in Montlake Terrace. Terry, thanks for calling in.
Hello, Terry.
Hi there. Don't know if you remember or not, but a while back I mentioned to you that I was following a supplement protocol recommended by these two cardiologists, James Roberts and Stephen Sinatra. Uh-huh. And part of that, Sinatra's awesome foursome includes carnitine. L-carnitine is a supplement, and I was curious to maybe see if you could compare and contrast that to acetyl-L-carnitine as a supplement. What are the differences in how the body deals with that?
All right. Well, carnitine, like many charged ions or charged molecules has a series of salts. You don't have pure crystalline carnitine. You're looking at acetylated carnitine. You're looking at carnitine tartrate. You're looking at all sorts of different salts. And different forms of carnitine cross into our tissues or absorb slightly differently. The acetyl L-carnitine crosses the blood-brain barrier more effectively than the carnitine tartrate. And that's why I choose acetyl L-carnitine for our own supplement, because I want to increase mitochondrial function in the brain as much as possible. I'm one of those guys who firmly believes if the brain don't work, the rest don't matter.
Which is why I'm taking acetyl L-carnitine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, other forms of carnitine get into most of your tissues quite nicely. And, you know, Dr. Sinatra is primarily concerned with cardiovascular function. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's his area of expertise. And almost all of the carnitine forms, the L-carnitine forms, will get into the cardiovascular tree quite efficiently. So I choose acetyl just because I want it also to get into the brain at the highest levels I can. Answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, I get that, and I just wanted to point out, I think there's abundant evidence for your theory that if the brain doesn't work, the rest doesn't either. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. Care, and I think somebody was, or I was reading, don't you get carnitine in meat?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called carnitine, a carnivore. It's a carnivore compound.
I never put that together. Come on.
Yeah.
I've only been doing this show for 20 years, and I never knew
Well,
that.
You learn something new every day.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Okay, carnitine for carnivore. Okay, so so what do vegetarians do to get it?
Because you don't get very high levels.
Yeah.
You know, I am usually amused by, you know, veggie folks that come to tell me how to be healthy, and they're pale and wan and puny. You know. We are omnivores. We are designed to survive anywhere on planet Earth, you know, from the North Pole to the equators. And human beings can survive on virtually any diet, including just plants. But we are not designed as herbivores. You know, herbivores, animals designed to eat just plants, have flat grinding teeth. They don't have cutting teeth. They're designed to grind up plant matter. And they have, we call them ruminants, because they have an extra gastrointestinal structure that will then allow that food to sit and churn and have the biomass broken down by bacteria before it gets into a very long bowel, because it takes a long time to absorb all of that food. An obligate carnivore has sharp teeth and fangs for ripping and tearing flesh, and a very short bowel. Things go through in a hurry because they're putting in other animals, other proteins that are already very close to their own structure. They don't need a lot of time to digest. We are in between. We have grinding teeth, our molars. We have some sharp cutting teeth, although our fangs are pretty puny compared to most carnivores. But we have a midgut. Our gut is much shorter than the plant eater and much longer than the obligate carnivore. We are designed to eat anything that doesn't eat us first.
Okay. All right. Good idea. Excellent. I have a very good friend. I'm not going to mention his name, but a PhD in nutrition and what have you. And for a number of years, he was really proud of the fact that he was a vegetarian. But he wasn't very healthy. Mm-hmm. Really, this is a very close friend of mine. Well, after about 7-8 years of being a vegetarian, he just said, I can't do it anymore. And he started having meat at least once a week. It totally changed his health. He literally dramatically improved his energy and a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's all a matter of balance, right?
It is. And you can overdo, you know, especially if you eat too much in the way of fatty meats, and especially if that meat is overheated, if it's charred. you raise your risk of colon cancer significantly.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, we are designed for moderate intake of almost everything. Mm-hmm. It should be, you know, our ancestors ate primarily roots and vegetables and berries because mm-hmm. they were the easiest. They didn't run very fast. We could catch them pretty fast, pretty easy, okay? Fish we could catch more easily than most animals, you know? And red meat, you know, animals that can run and fight, we didn't get those very often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically the way our design, our gut and our bodies are designed. Yes, some meat, some animal protein, we can digest and incorporate it into our own muscle mass very efficiently, but we don't need too much.
Yeah.
We need a modest amount.
Yeah, I guess that's why the Mediterranean diet has stood the test of time.
Yeah.
It's just a mixture of all of these things, grains, nuts, seeds, meats, fish, oils.
Yeah.
And that's why it's considered probably one of the healthiest diets on the planet.
And it has a lot more fish.
Yes.
Than running animals, right? So yeah, it's you know, it's a healthy diet, but it's a good mix. And so we, if you eat the way your body is designed to eat, you know, kind of look at what your ancestors could and couldn't get. You know, we didn't have farms when our species developed. You know, we were hunter gatherers, scavengers. You know, the animals were the big teeth and claws would kill an animal, and we'd come along afterwards and get what was left over. Because our teeth and claws couldn't compete.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can stick to any extreme form of a plan for a short period of time, like you were saying with your friend. Well, maybe it wasn't extreme for him, but I know lots of vegetarian people, and they're vegetarian for life because that's just the way they are. But
it's more cultural and religious.
It's more cultural, yes. But people can adapt to an extreme diet for various reasons, predominantly health reasons, exercise reasons, for periods of time in their life. But I've never seen anybody being able to stick to it for years and years on end.
Sure. Well, and that's like, you know, the Ornish diet that I've talked about several times when people are talking about reversing cardio plaques in their arteries.
Yeah.
The Ornish diet will open up your coronary arteries beautifully. I mean, he's got wonderful studies showing that people that had 90% occlusions of the carotid arteries, you know, open that up and quadruple the blood flow in a matter of a year to 18 months. But it is such an unnatural diet. The amount of fat in that diet is extremely low, you know. But if you eat the Ornish diet, you will lose fat, you will lose weight, you will get lean, you will open up your arteries. I mean, that's all good. But you have to stick with it with a religious fervor. I don't know anybody that can stick with it more than 6 months to a year, even if they are on the verge of dying.
I think our favorite cardiologist, Dr. Reuben Maiden, he made a comment to me one day. He was talking about it, about that diet, and he said in all of his years of people with dozens and dozens and dozens of people that said, I'm going to get on it, he said he thinks he had one that lasted more than 6 months or something. He said, which is very difficult.
Mm-hmm. I did it for 6 months one time.
Oh, you did?
30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I have never been leaner.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a totally flat scaphoid belly. You know, I got really lean and cut with it.
And then, as typically happens,
after six months, I said, I gotta eat. You know, I was eating a lot. In fact, that was the name of his book, Eat More, Weigh Less.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and you do, you can eat a lot, but it's all high fiber, very low fat, you know, not very tasty. I did it for 6 months. I got really, really lean, really, really cut, and then I went back to eating like a human being.
Okay. Hey, I just looked at my email from Bia about the health analysis appointments, and I'm going to explain the situation as soon as we come back. We'll also, when we come back from this break, be talking with Josette from Woodinville about cataracts, Steve from Bellevue about a rotator cuff problem, and vitamin K. Lynn from Buckley has a question about vitamin K. How about that?
Okay, we'll do those three.
We will be back before you know it. You know, already today, we've talked about the importance of measuring. We're talking about, you know, at Longevity Medical Clinic, our patients, we measure every 3 months, approximately every 3 months, because if you don't measure, you don't know, and people, their lives change, their lifestyles can change, and it's important to stay on top of it.
Yes.
I know some of our competitors.
Check once a year. Yeah.
And I know you always get a kick out of that because things can change in a whole lot faster than a year.
Yes.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is I said I would talk about the health analysis appointments. Bea emailed me yesterday, and I pulled it up on my screen here. Good news, and we've opened up through the 24th of July. And the problem is we only have 8 appointments between now, mostly out in July, obviously, end of July. 8 appointments available in Kirkland, 10 in Tacoma, and 22 in Linwood. So we're adding those, and they're available now. And all you need to do is go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and you just push on the little button. It's right there, right smack in the middle of the homepage, I believe, and you can schedule your own appointment. Those two tests, if you don't measure, you don't know. Bottom line, Jerry, I guess it was, what, almost 2 years ago, you decided, well, if you don't measure, you don't know. Let's measure and at least do these two tests for free.
Yep.
So that people can determine what are some of the basic health risks. So, Samara, could you give us just a quick recap of what they might learn from those two tests?
Sure. So the finger prick test is called the hemoglobin A1C. And that is a average of your peak and trough sugar levels over a 3 month period. So the fasting glucose level, which we do in the blood test, just tells you, you know, what you have eaten a few hours before, and it can be high or it can be low, depending upon what you were doing, whether you were partying or you were fasting.
So when they come in for the free health analysis appointment, do they need to be fasting prior to it?
No, I don't think so. They don't have to. We do that for our blood draw patients, but the health analysis appointments don't have to be fasting.
Don't have to do that.
No.
So you can come in any time, and we just take their blood quickly.
Finger prick. It's not a blood draw unless want one. It's just a quick finger prick. And that average, the hemoglobin A1C, gives us an idea of how they've been eating over the last 3 months. And the point is that if you are increasing, the normal value is up to 6.5%. At 6.5, you're type 2 diabetic. Between 5.7 and 6.4, it's considered pre-diabetes, and anything lower than 5.2% is considered normal. So for us, the range is important because you don't get up one day and suddenly become diabetic. It's a trend. It's a trend over time as sugar levels slowly increase. But the point is that rising sugar damages the internal blood vessels. And as the blood vessels and the endothelial lining is being damaged, it's compromising function for you. And it happens ever so slowly that people don't notice these changes. So we want to check it frequently. We want to know whether you are absolutely ideal or pre-diabetic or you have type 2 diabetes and where you're in that spectrum.
Well, this is what bothers me, and it should, right? I have some relatives, two in particular, who have told me, they're not patients at Longevity, they're out of state. They say, well, my doctor says I'm pre-diabetic, but not to worry about it because he's going to keep his eye on it. You know, they're going to watch it because they're only pre-diabetic.
Yeah. And if you're in that pre-diabetic range, you're losing brain tissue about twice as fast as you would if you were down with 5.2 or so. So
even as a pre-diabetic,
yeah. You're doing the damage. You're just doing it slower than you will when you're an overt diabetic.
Okay.
But the damage to your heart and your eyes and your brain and your kidneys is being done. So why not intervene early?
Yeah,
and it's all about education, right? Education takes time. It's investment on the part of the physician for your patient. And then you never know what will cause that light bulb to go off for your patient. But you got to keep trying. And as we look at trends, remember these trends can happen. Say you're on a cruise and then there's a wedding and then there's a party. Bingo, all of a sudden a healthy person with a great hemoglobin A1C is now pre-diabetic. It doesn't take a whole lot. But if you're not paying attention to these numbers, the risk for underlying damage at the vascular level, at a level where it can't be measured as abnormal, is increasing. But the damage is consistent, it's ongoing, it's progressive. And then all of a sudden you have medical diagnoses and okay. Now they can treat you. The problem is now it's too late sometimes because the damage is harder to fix. So always before is
sooner the better. Sooner. And again, yeah. This is why we say if you don't measure, you don't know. Come in, at least measure. Let's find out because you need to know what some of your basic health risks are. Okay, yeah. So that's the blood.
Yeah.
What about the in-body?
Oh, the in-body is great. It's a double-edged sword. I have a love-hate relationship with that machine myself.
Why?
Well, it picks up my body fat too, you know.
Oh, well, I can't imagine you have any body fat.
Yes, yeah, sure. It looks at body weight. So when you look at the weight, it's not just your fat. It tells you your muscle mass and your fat. And it tells you your visceral fat level. And it gives you an idea of your metabolic rate, which is how quickly you're burning calories or how slowly in some cases. So a person looking normal and healthy with a normal weight can actually be fooled because they have lost a lot of muscle and their body fat percentage is really high and their visceral fat is high. So now the risk for chronic inflammatory disease is high for them. So therefore their risk for chronic conditions like dementia, diabetes, degenerative joint disease, arthritis, cancer, coronary artery disease is on the rise. So we have to pick that up. Remember, normal aging is loss of muscle mass. So sarcopenia is normal aging, but if you allow that to happen, your visceral fat level will rise and your risk for all these chronic diseases I mentioned is increasing, especially if that visceral fat is high.
Yeah, and it's a function of ratios because we're talking about the percentage of body fat.
That's correct.
If the fat stays the same, but the muscle mass is going down, the percentage of fat has risen.
Yes.
Even though the absolute fat is the same.
Mm-hmm. So even, I've heard you say that, even skinny people can have issues.
You call them the skinny fats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I may see that all the time, right? As they're getting older, they may even be losing weight in some cases, but they're losing muscle disproportionately, and their body fat percentage may be either the same or may even be rising.
Yes.
And for all practical purposes, their BMI is normal and they're normal. And I look at them and go, okay, first of all, we need to gain weight, but we need to you to gain muscle weight and you need to lose body fat. So educating them about what they need to know is very important. What do is very important.
Yeah. Muscle is the currency of aging. You spend muscle as you get older. It's your bank account. And you need to maintain muscle mass as you get older. But it's harder and harder as your endocrine support is fading away and your metabolism is shifting away from muscle towards fat. So,
and, of course, this is what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about.
Yeah.
We don't just measure to tell you this and say, well, too bad, you're screwed. See you later. There are things we can do. That's what we do.
Yeah. And
Longevity.
So, you know, during this coronavirus pandemic, when everybody's working from home, then gyms are closing or have been closed, rather. What I'm seeing is not only a weight gain, but a loss of muscle. And a rise in body fat percentage.
Okay.
And it's completely understandable why it's happening. But the minute you start educating your patients about what's going on, and you go, okay, you need to pick up those rubber bands that you have had at home
exercise
bands or, you know, some weights or water bottles and start doing something. They get it. They get it.
Good. And our listeners apparently get it because when we make more of the free health analysis appointments available, our listeners grab them up and for a darn good reason. There's never been a better time, especially during this pandemic, to get serious about building your immune system, balancing your hormonal system, bringing it back to levels that are more acceptable. Smartest thing you can do. And again, There are a batch available. We have three clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. We have appointments now through July 24th. I'm looking right here, through July 24th. That means you're going to have to wait maybe 3, 4, or 5 weeks to come in. But if you don't make the appointment now, you're going to have to wait even longer because they'll be taken up. So go to our website, lmclinic.com. Right in the middle of the page, you can click the button and make your own appointment. When you do that, the three clinics will pop up, Kirkland, Tacoma, Linwood. You select the clinic that you think is closest to you, maybe. And when you do that, let's say you select Linwood, well, then the Linwood schedule comes up for the free appointments. And you select the one you want. It's on your screen. You just click it, and boom, it is your appointment. So do it now. And, yes, you still get $100 of longevity supplements when you make your free health analysis appointment. $100 of longevity supplements. And by the way, these are supplements that this guy right here has designed.
Yep.
And so
I would point out that before the last break, you said when we came back, there were three calls we were going to take, and we haven't taken any of them.
Well, if you,
I want to take them.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, let's take a quick break. And this will be a fast one.
And then we will do nothing but those calls until we get them
done. We'll do nothing but those calls. There you go. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. Pete Talbot here with me in the studio. Dr. Jerry Mixon, founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinics, along with the assistant medical director, Dr. Samira Yuma. And we're taking your calls. And again, you make those appointments at lmclinic.com. Let's go to Woodinville and talk with Josette. Josette, welcome to the show.
Hello, Josette.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Say,
good morning.
I went to see Dr. Gilbert this week, and a lot of information there, and then two or three days later, I'm come up with all these questions, and being that you and Pete Talbot both have had this done with the cataract surgery, so I thought I'd throw a few questions at you. Now, he did tell me the cataract surgery is permanent. You never have to have it done again. As far as correction for nearsighted and farsighted, I did have a friend that had a correction done like that about, 10 years ago, and she says that she's back to wearing glasses. Have you noticed that at all with your correction that you had done?
No, but here's the thing. As we age, the muscles that change the shape of the lens change. They get weaker generally. And so we lose part of our accommodation, partly because the lens is getting stiffer, the natural lens, and partly because the muscles are getting weaker. When you go and if you get the standard fixed lens, okay, the lens that Medicare pays for, you can get a good correction, but you only get a correction for near, far, or in the middle. You don't get something that will shift. Okay, because that lens doesn't change shape. It's a firm lens. So what you get is what you got. There are newer, fancier lenses that Medicare does not cover that you have to pay out of pocket for. And that's what I got. And it was an extra $2,000 an eye to get this special, we call it a crystal lens, but there's several lenses out now and they're actually flexible. And they put it inside the lens capsule where they took the old lens out. So it's actually attached to your muscles. And as those muscles move, it changes the focus from close to far. But you do have to exercise those muscles because they've gotten used to not working in those years with that stiff lens in there. But with those fancier lenses, you can accommodate. You know, I used to, back when I was wearing my contacts, I had 2200 vision. You know, I could not see far. My focal point was about 6 inches in front of my nose. when I got into my fancy lens and I had a couple of months of exercise of practicing with my lenses, I can read now to within about 8 or 9 inches of my nose, and I can see to the horizon with 2015 vision.
Better than 2020.
Better than 2020. So for me, that extra $4,000, $2,000 on each eye was worth it, because now I don't need reading glasses unless I'm using very, very tiny print or it's the end of a day and I'm tired. Okay. But generally I read quite nicely now without any kind of glasses. So, but it does
maintain that as time goes on.
It's been about 6 years now, and I'm seeing no change at all. Right.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm already in my 70s, so.
Yeah, me too. The other question I had was about astigmatism. And does the cataract surgery actually take care of astigmatism?
Yes, they've actually got lenses that will correct the astigmatism, or they can reshape the cornea if they need to. So they can fix astigmatism and your lens correction.
And I believe Dr. Gilbert is also a cornea expert or specialist.
Yes, that was his specialty.
That's right.
In fact, he was part of the research team that developed the cornea reshaping the lasers.
That's right.
Getting them approved by the FDA.
He's truly, the reason he's a guest on here all the time is he is on the leading edge, and that's what this show is all about.
Yeah. Anything else, young lady?
It was a very, very good meeting, but like I say, I had so much information, and I'm thinking of these things after the fact. By the time I thought about it, it was too late to call the office. I have one more quick question. The Cornish diet, you went on it for 6 months. I had the live screening testing done, and it showed that I had a really mild buildup of plaque in the artery on one side of my neck. Would 6 months on the Cornish diet clear that up?
Okay. Yeah, now first, it's Ornish with an O, not a C. So it's not Cornish, it's Ornish.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Yeah. But yeah, it would probably help if you can tolerate it. And it is a very rigorous diet. You know, it's kind of a funny story. when he wrote this, he did his original research, and it was on how to reverse coronary artery disease. And he developed this diet for that thing, and he wrote the book on how to save your life, how to open your arteries and save your life. Well, nobody bought the book. And his publisher said, "Doc, you've got a great book. The problem is people won't do things to save their lives. They're worried about how they look." So he went back, he made a few changes in the book, and he renamed it, and he called it Eat More, Weigh Less. Mm. It was on the bestseller list for several years. He made a fortune. The premise is you can eat more and weigh less. Oh, and by the way, it'll save your life.
He got the book in there. Well, if I can do Dr. Kazura's challenge of going off wine for 4 months, I guess I can try this diet to see what my A1C would be with no wine at all. So I managed to do that. I'm going to try it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Good
luck. Take care, Seth. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Bellevue and talk to Steve. Steve, welcome.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Okay, so I know you can't diagnose a rotator cuff problem over.
No, just hold your shoulder up to the phone. We'll take a look. Okay, so
are you there, Steve?
No.
Yeah.
We're having a hard time. Steve, we're having a hard time hearing you. You need to speak real right into the phone.
Okay, how's that?
That's much better.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Sorry. Okay. So, you know, I've had other friends who've had rotator cuff surgery, and it takes a month to recuperate. And I heard there was some less invasive solution. And then my third question would be, does stem cell help with the rotator cuff problem?
it frequently can if the guy doing the stem cells knows really what he's doing.
And what, and depends on what the problem is.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Right. You know, rotator cuffs, it's a complex structure and there's a lot of ways for it to go wrong. You can end up with a, what you think is a rotator cuff and it's actually a bursitis.
Yeah.
I had a calcific bursitis that I just was sure I'd ripped a rotator cuff and it hadn't. We got the calcium slurry out of my bursa and it cleared up fine. You can get little tears, you get great big tears, you get total disruptions. And so depending on how bad the damage is, Dr. Nelson has pretty good results with going in and using your own stem cells out of your bone marrow and putting them just in the right place at those raw ends, at those damaged areas of ligament, and getting them to heal, which, given my choice, I'd rather do that than have somebody go in surgically and start throwing staples around. And
sure.
And Steve, let me just say, we don't have time because we've only got a minute left before the top of the hour break. I have had four rotator cuff surgeries on my one right shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced they were guessing a lot.
Well, see, the rotator cuff is a basket case, word. It basically is four different muscles, which means four muscles, four tendons, four ligaments, injury anywhere around them. There's bursas around there. There's bone spurs that can happen. So there's a lot of pathology that can happen, and we just lump it all as rotator cuff. So you have to identify the problem and then find the solution for it.
But Pete had four surgeries, and then he went for stem cell therapy.
Well, actually, what happened was, this is interesting. My last rotator cuff surgery was about 8 or 9 years ago, and my shoulder still used to wake me up every night. I couldn't sleep through the night, not one night, because of my right shoulder. And I couldn't do motions. I didn't have a backswing, couldn't play tennis. Just, I was so hacked off. Well, about 4 months ago, I was telling Dr. Nelson about it, and he said, well, let me try this first, because I think stem cell might help. But he let me try this first, and he shot me in my shoulder. I haven't had an ounce of pain in my right shoulder for the first time in like 20 years. So I don't know exactly what he did shot-wise.
But for 4 months, you're pain-free.
But for 4 months, my shoulder's pain-free.
Upshot is, go give Dan Nelson a call. Let him take a look at you. You may not need the surgery.
That's right. And so, what you don't want to go to a surgeon to ask. You want to go to a
surgeon to do surgery.
Yes. You want to go to somebody like Dan, and there's not many of them out there, whose specialty is diagnosis. Because there may be stem cell, there may be a shot, there may be something else. Who knows? PRP alone might help. So, Dr. Dan Nelson, 425-823-4000 is his number. 425-823-4000. Make that appointment. We have about a 10-second break, and we'll be back for hour number two.